This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
It was nice to jump into the video stream of Jeremy and Joe. Say hi to a lot of you. I had no idea. I forgot it was live on video. I knew it was live radio, of course, but I just came into the studio because Nate had to scoot out, and there was an empty chair, and I'm like, oh, let's go in there and join Joe for a minute, get ready for my show, the Extra Point show here. And I sat down, and then I realized pretty quickly, wait a minute, there's a camera in front of me, so this thing's going to go on, and I'm going to say hi to people, and they're going to say hi to me, and they're going to talk about me in the chat. So... And of course, got
they were all complimenting your hair today.
They were all good.
It looks really good today, actually.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I did it. It took me a while this morning. And then they were complimenting my Syracuse quarter zip. So yes, I'm wearing Syracuse University gear, even though my team stinks in basketball and is not a part of this tournament. This is the first time, I believe this is true. This is correct. This is the first time that a whole class went through Syracuse for 4 years and never saw a tournament game. If you were a freshman at Syracuse 4 years ago, you did not see them play in the tournament your entire time in college. And it's the first time any freshman class entered went through 4 years and did not see them because they'd never gone that many years in a row without making it.
That's, wow, that's pretty crazy.
It's terrible. And I'm going to give you some stats also about the tournament in a minute that are terrible to me. But before I get to that, welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. Lots of hockey this weekend with Max. That's pretty cool. Always get a chance. There's some really good young hockey players. And I mean, like, you know, kids. Watching, I'm seeing some of these kids skate going, holy cow, man. So that was fun. Did that. And, of course, watched a lot of tournament action. I think that I'm a big college basketball fan. I have been, even before I went to Syracuse, I was a Syracuse fan, and then I happened to go there. But I mean, like, I always loved college basketball, the tournament, even in high school. I've always loved college basketball, even more really than college football, to be honest with you. And I'm, you know, a football guy from the standpoint of just the theater of it, the tournament. But maybe because growing up, you know, Syracuse was my team, and they were in the tournament, and I think one of the first times I ever really cried after a sporting event was Keith Smart in 1987 hitting the shot to beat Syracuse for Indiana. Like, I've always loved it. It has changed for me, for sure. It's changed because I'm now more into the coaches and players maybe than the teams, because I'm watching some of these games and I'm like, I don't really care who wins. You know, there was a time where I really cared because it was Big East and you have pride in your conference, or you have rivals, you don't want to see them win. And a lot of that is still true. Like, I was very conflicted in the UConn game yesterday, to be quite honest with you, UConn against Florida, because I've never liked either school. But I actually do like Danny Hurley, although Danny Hurley's getting to be a little bit of a, as great of a coach as he is. Did you see the clip of Danny Hurley after the game yesterday? I mean, come on.
Yeah, come on. It's a little, yeah. You can tell it's getting a little up there in the ego.
Yeah, the whiny, like, yeah. Oh, hope they don't F you like they did us, he says to Baylor on the way out. You saw
that,
right?
Yeah, where he's running down the tunnel and he screams.
Well, he's walking down the tunnel and he looks at people from Baylor who are about to go on the court to play their game. And he says, hope you don't blank us like they blank. Hope they don't blank you like they blanked us, meaning the refs. Come on, dude. You've won two national titles. Your team wasn't as good this year, and you lost to Florida, who's a really good team, right? So I do like Danny Hurley, but that's not for me. Like, come on. Take your loss, all right? And I also, though, I want to root for Carlin Hartman. Grand Island's own Carlin Hartman, the assistant coach at Florida. So I was conflicted in that game. So I don't really have necessarily teams I root for. I do have teams I root against sometimes. I root for players. How about Roddy Gale? Do you know who Roddy Gale is? Okay, so Roddy Gale plays for Michigan. He's like one of their best players. He's the guy. He's the kid who scored a bunch of points towards the end of the game. They had this big comeback. They scored all these points. And I guess I didn't put two and two together, but then I did. Roddy Gale grew up in Niagara Falls. He went to Loupport High School. He went there until I think maybe his junior year, and then he transferred to a high school out in Utah and a basketball school, and then he went to Ohio State. And of all places, after 3 years to transfer from Ohio State, he transferred to Michigan. And he's been doing great for them. But Roddy Gale is a local guy. And I root for the local guys. I root for the local stories, the local kids and coaches and things like that. I'm watching Phil Martelli Jr.'s press conference. Phil Martelli, they lost. Which game that was? Oh, yeah, Bryant. Bryant, and then I got to look at who they lost to. But either way, so Phil Martelli Jr. has his press conference, and it was a really great press conference about somebody asked him a question about, hey, we know how much your family means to you, for them to be on this journey, Bryant getting into the tournament and then losing, what's it been? And he was very emotional talking about his family. And then he mentions that they had to, like, his cousins, they drove to Buffalo and then flew out. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then he mentions Niagara. And I went back and looked. Yeah, Phil Martelli Jr. was an assistant coach at Niagara before moving on in the coaching world. So there's a lot of connections here to Western New York, and that's very cool. So I've seen that. I want to get to something else about the tournament in a minute. But as promised, Josh Schmidt, we have to give some love every day to who's leading the tournament and the Sal Sports Tournament Bracket Pool.
I just checked, and I'm in the top 100.
Ooh, are you really?
Yeah.
That's big time.
I'm in a seven-way tie for 88th place.
694 total complete brackets. 1,000 brackets actually signed up, but 694 actually completed brackets, which is amazing.
Mine doesn't look very good, though. I have St. John's in the final four.
Oh,
my wife. I have St. John's in the final now that I look at it again.
Yeah, Yana, she picked St. John's to win it all, so she's gonzo.
Yeah.
Max, my son Max, he has Florida winning it all, and he's still in it. I have Auburn winning it all. I'm still in it. But we are not anywhere close to the leaderboard. Here is your leaderboard on the Sal Sports CBSSports.com Bracket Challenge. And remember, what we did here was I promised you if we had 600 entrants, which we did, I would give a $100 gift card to the NCAA online shop to the first place winner, a $50 gift card to the second place winner, and a $25 gift card to the third place winner. And it's all free to enter. It was. But you had to enter last week before we started. And we talked about it here. I tweeted it out. And I appreciate everybody going and entering. All I asked in return was, go subscribe to my YouTube channel where you see lots of great content. That's it. So here we go. You ready? Number one, Zachary Schrantz has 246 points. Number two, a friend of mine who is a basketball coach and football coach in Florida named Sean Huber. He entered this. He actually is number two with 233 points. I got to let him know that. Number three, Todd Victory. That's a cool name. I don't know if it's Victory or Victory, but he's at 232, tied with Jeffrey Podgers, Carl Vanderbrook, Mark Post, Michael Apoka, Pete Sadler, Sean Layston, Timothy Wilson, and Kimberly Holmes. Out of all of that group, everybody I just read, that's the top three. There's a big tie for third place. Out of everybody in the top three, they all have Florida winning it except for Kimberly Holmes, who has St. John, so she's going to lose some points. So if you are one of the names I just read, you are right now in the top three out of 694 completed brackets and have a chance for one of these prizes. Very cool on all of you. For me, I'm in 535th place. Okay? There's a reason for that. I'm going to get to it in a second. Yana Capaccio, 632. My wife's not doing too well. Max, 182nd place. He'll take it. He's doing pretty well. And where are you? What number?
My best is 88.
Wow.
I have 88, 293, and 575.
Okay.
So
88.
One clearly stands out, but I only have a max of 273 points that I can get remaining.
Oh, yeah, that hurts.
So, it's not that far off the leaders, but
no.
I'm going to need a few miracles here.
So here's why I will tell you that part of the reason why I am in 535th place. Because in my brackets, I like to reward upsets, and I like to pick upsets. And you know we have not had this tournament? Upsets. I don't like it, okay? I don't like where it's gone. I don't like where it's going. I've made that clear. College sports. I'd like to get your thoughts on this as you watch the tournament. Are you all for all these blue bloods winning it and being where they are and getting into the Sweet 16? Or would you like to see some mid-majors and some upsets? Because I want to give you a stat. This comes to us from the Twitter account SB Unfurled. This is a St. Bonaventure blog. The Fans of the Bonnies, it's called. Not affiliated with St. Bonaventure University. But thank you very much. SB Unfurled. They do a really good job. And I saw this from them. This is amazing. Okay, some stats. 803-0550, by the way. We're going to get to the Bills. We're going to get to the Sabres. I promise. But I want to go through this real quick. Sabres at the bottom of the hour with Paul Hamilton. Top of the hour, by the way. I'll let you know right now. Eric Turner from Cover One. Eric does a lot of film breakdown on NFL and Buffalo Bills players. He's done a lot on the Bills' new free agent signings. We're going to get to that with him and find out where a lot of these guys fit. Josh Palmer, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi, Joey Bosa. We'll talk draft, but Eric Turner at the top of the hour, Paul Hamilton at 10:30. Are you liking this kind of new way of college basketball and college sports, and particularly seeing this, what's happening in basketball? Or are you like me and say, man, I just don't like it. I know I sound like old man screaming at clouds, but folks, I'm going to give you some stats here from SB Unfurled. This is the first ever Sweet 16 that every single school is in a Power 4 conference. Every one of them. How about this? If you took throughout history of the tournament, the Sweet 16s every year, and counted up how many different conferences they represent, the previous low before this year was 7. There are only, 4 conferences represented in this year's Sweet 16. 4. They're all the Power 4. That's it. Every single team in the Sweet 16 is from a Power 4 conference. The first Sweet 16 seed with no 11 or more seeds since 2007. That's been almost 2 decades. There are a record 7 SEC teams playing next weekend. Now, good for them. They got a lot of teams in, but it's just, again, another example. This is also where this really sucks. Regardless of the teams and the conferences, the average margin of victory in the first round, 16.7 points. They're not even close games. They're not close games. We had one buzzer beater last night. That was amazing. Did you watch Maryland on the buzzer beater? Wow. That was what you call double onions.
Was it a travel?
You know, it's a good question. I think by letter of the law you could say so, but man, I don't know if I've ever, that just doesn't get called. Like, that's just too close and he's driving. And a lot of people said it's not. He was gathering. It was a gather step. I don't know. It was very close. Very close. And then, speaking of blowouts, in the first round, there were 10 wins of 25 points or more, 10 games, that happened. I mean, if you bet the favorites the first two rounds, you won money. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Now look, here's the offshoot. Here's the good part about it, if you want to say it that way. Look what you have coming up next weekend. It is a bunch of who's who in college basketball playing against each other. And you're going to get some incredible blue blood games. Okay? What do you got? Auburn against Michigan. Ole Miss against Michigan State. Florida against Maryland. Texas Tech against Arkansas. Kentucky, Tennessee should be great. Houston against Purdue. BYU, yes, they are now in a Power 4 conference. They're in the Big 12. Against Alabama. And Nate Oates. Duke against Arizona. All right, I think we've had that a few times over the history of the tournament. So that's great. I'm all for watching these blue blood teams play each other as you get later in the tournament. I'm all for it. But what are we doing with... There's no chance for these mid-majors anymore. This is the new reality of college sports and college basketball especially. When SB Unfurled tweeted out what they did with the stats, they were quote tweeting a couple others. SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12 have effectively pushed any chance for mid-majors to mount any effective impact, says Scott Brand, who is a YouTuber for college basketball. And David Warlock points out, again, the previous record for fewest conferences represented the Sweet 16 was 7. That happened a few times. Not only did you break that, you just shattered it to 4. That's it. They're all either SEC, Big 10, Big 12, ACC. That is the new Power 4, they call it. And it's here to stay, I think. Now, I would say expansion is part of this, right? I mean, everybody's kind of, you know, you get a team like BYU and you could say, well, they've been a mid-major or they've been in like not one of the Power 5. Now they are because of the conference, you know, realignment. And I get all that. It just sucks. I hate it. So there's my Monday. I was going to say musing. It's a rant a bit. I don't like it. And I love seeing, as much as I'm a Syracuse fan and love Syracuse, they haven't been there. They stink right now in basketball. They have. Hopefully they'll be better next year with Sadiq White and Kion Anthony coming to town and, you know, playing for them. But as much as that's the case, I love watching upsets and I love watching some of the Cinderella stories. And when you get to the 16 and in Elite Eight, I'm fine with those teams when they lose and you get blue bloods. But it's always great to have a few of those stories. We have none this year. We have none this year because of this. It is NIL. It is Portal. It's the new reality, what we live in. 803-0550 is the number to call here if you want to join in on that discussion or anything else here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sabres with a nice win last night. Yesterday afternoon, I should say. It was only the 6th loss in regulation, I believe, for the Winnipeg Jets, Josh, at home. The 6th overall this year. 6th regulation home loss for the Winnipeg Jets this year. Nice game. I'm going to say what I said last week when they beat Vegas. And what was the other one? They had the back-to-back wins. They beat Vegas and...
That was their 6th home loss all season.
That was their 6th.
That's wild.
In regulation. Yeah.
But that's crazy. I didn't know they were doing that well at home.
I'm going to say what I said last week when the Sabres had a couple nice wins. It's nice. And I like seeing it. I was with some people yesterday who said, well, I just want to see them lose and get a better draft pick. I don't care about that stuff anymore. I just don't care. I know a lot of people do. I don't. Who cares? They've had great draft picks. They've had the number one pick twice, the number two pick a couple times. I mean, what do you need these great draft picks? You're going to get a good draft pick anyway. So I still like to see them win, but what does it matter, right? It's like at the end of the year, you get this, you feel good about what's happening, and then it just changes anyway because the year ends and everything is different. Man, I would do J.J. Paterka look good. Boy, what is going to happen with him this offseason? I keep going back to what Elliot Friedman kept tweeting out about J.J. Paterka. Do you remember, Josh, leading up to the trade deadline, and he kept putting Paterka's name out there? He kept saying Paterka, Paterka. He kept rising him up the boards. And then there was that whole stuff with the Rangers, we all thought. But the one thing he kept writing, which sticks with me, and I'm like, does he know something? Did somebody say they're going to do it? He kept saying and kept writing, Elliot Friedman, that Paterka is an offer sheet candidate. And he is an RFA. He could get an offer sheet. What does that offer sheet look like? I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times, an offer sheet, I'd be like, okay, you're going to get some really good compensation. Again, not what the Sabres need. They need good players, not good draft picks. They need good people on the NHL roster, not playing in the AHL. We're done with that. We've had that for years. Every year or two, I look up and I read, the Sabres are the youngest team in the league. Every few years, I look at the AHL standings and see the Rochester Americans are doing really well. They have these great prospects. I see leaders at the top or goaltenders, whatever. How many times have we got to be there? I don't need to be there anymore. You want to go and root for losses because you think it gives them a better chance at the number one pick? Fine, have at it. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. Give me players. Get the number one pick and trade the damn thing. Get the number five pick and trade it. For guys who can play now on this team in 2025-26, I should say.
If you're looking at offer sheets for J.J. Paterka this offseason, the compensations go like this. So in the range of $6.8 to $9.1 million, the team that is offered, like
What would the Sabres get if they rescinded him to a team that offered that?
The Sabres would get a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick in next year's draft. If it goes from 9.1 to 11.4, they get two first-round picks, one second-round pick, one third-round pick.
Hold on. Two firsts, one second, one third?
Yep. And then $11.4 million or more, the Sabres get that team's next four first-round picks.
I don't think anybody would be putting that much.
No, but the way I look at it with this whole offer sheet thing, if you have a team come to you and say, hey, we've offer sheeted J.J. Paterka for like 7 years, $7 million, you just say, cool, thanks, and go sign that contract. Like, the Sabres are in that position where he's a player you want to keep, at least I think anyway. I don't know why you wouldn't want to keep him. And you have the cap space, right? Like, you have.
I think what you're saying is this, and I agree with you. Let the other team do the negotiation.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
The Ravens basically said, Lamar, if you can go find another offer, go ahead. And see, and they had the right to match it.
Right.
Now, he still stayed. This is exactly. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Fine. You want to do that? Match it. I would rather have J.J. Paterka than these draft picks.
Now, if you get in the upwards of $9 million conversation, then you kind of can weigh things because you can get more more bang for your buck there. But that's kind of just how much you want to pay the guy, right? Like at that point. But that's a completely different conversation than if someone's offering him $7 million, which you've already given to five other players. Like, I think it's just so what if he gets offer sheeted? That's how I feel about it because you're just going to match it.
I agree. And what is a team really forcing the Sabres into a tough situation with offer sheets? They shouldn't be. They have enough money, right? Like, a lot of times they do it because, hey, we'll offer. They can't match it. That's not the case here.
That happened last year with the Oilers. They lost two players.
To the Blues.
Yeah, because they couldn't match the offer sheets.
What's interesting about this is this all could be impacted because they don't have to really offer Jack Quinn all that much, it appears. Maybe you can, you know, he's going to be an RFA. I don't think he's getting an offer sheet from anybody for that kind of money. So you can offset it, too. Let's go to Mark in North Tonawanda before we hit the first break and hear from Paul. What's up, Mark?
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I just was listening, and that was an awesome win by the Sabres last night. I'm always looking at the bright side of things. So the thing I want to say, though, I do care about the draft pick they get because I do not want them to draft any small players. There's a player I really would like to see him draft, Porter Martone, 6'3", 208 pounds, and they said he plays like Tkachuk. Sign me up because the Sabres need players like that.
Yeah, you care about the player they draft, but you don't care where the you don't care where they're drafting. You care about the player they draft. But I, my point is, I don't care where they're drafting. I don't need losses to be drafting first or second. They're going to get a good pick anyway.
Well, I'm happy whether they win or lose because he's not going to last past the fourth pick in the draft. So that's where I'm heading. And I'm a big Sabre fan. So
what's his name?
Don't do good.
What's his name?
Porter.
Yeah, Martone. Yeah, I see him. From I'm looking at him now, Mississauga.
Yes.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, you got a 6'3", 207. I don't know a lot about these prospects. I haven't looked into them. That'll happen at some point. Got enough on my mind with the Bills prospects, free agency in the draft. But thank you for that, Porter Martone. You're right. I mean, they would have to probably be in the top three or four to draft him if you want that guy and that, you know, plays like Kachuk. I'll take a guy like that. The point I'm making is, and I appreciate the call, Mark. I don't need draft picks. I don't need, great, give J.J. Pachurka an offer sheet. And if you think he's not worth paying that much, that's a different conversation than, oh, my God, give me the draft picks. They've had draft picks. Who cares anymore? I don't care about them anymore. I don't care about prospects. Prospect fatigue, right? That's what we call it now. I think Jeremy said that a while back. I don't care about the picks. I don't care about the prospects. I care about this team getting better now, quickly. How do you do that? Get your picks and trade them. That's what you can do. We'll take a timeout. Paul Hamilton on the way next. Nice win for the Sabres in Winnipeg. Obviously doesn't mean anything in the standings, but what does it do for, you know, this team going forward and closing out the season here with about, what, 10, 12 games remaining? We'll do that with Paul Hamilton after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.